because God gave the best of heaven, Jesus, for the worst of earth, us. And so he begins to tell him, he says, listen, Jesus was rich and he became poor for you and for me.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us today. Now, Pastor, we've been taking a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where the Macedonian church is giving us a tremendous example of a giving spirit because they love God and they want to be a part of the work that he's doing. I'm guessing that they maybe got that because they truly understood what God did for them and how Christ, in all his glory, in all his richness, decided that he was going to give sacrificially for us. I mean, what a model to hold out there.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because Jesus did die for our sins. You know, the word redemption is a financial term in the Greek.
Yeah.
It literally means to buy someone out of the slave market of sin. If you're listening to me right now, how dare you devalue yourself when God placed such a high value on you? I know we're talking about money. I'm talking to somebody right now who has a Christ esteem problem. I don't call it self-esteem, that you don't esteem yourself the way you ought to. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Here's what Peter said. He said, for as much as you know, then you've not been redeemed by corruptible things from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And listen, if you don't know him today and you're listening, I need you to make a phone call. 1-888-NEED-HIM. Because you will go from poverty in your sin to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who was poor because he divested himself of his riches to accept us.
Hmm. No greater thing that we can do than to say yes to the offer of that redemption that Christ really has extended to us.
Amen.
And so, as you said, if you don't know Jesus, keep listening and make that phone call, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Right now, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we bring you the conclusion of the Macedonian mindset. Here is Pastor Ford.
Henry P. Kroll, I went to Moody, taught there 17 years, all that kind of stuff. And the main building is called Kroll Hall. It's named after Henry P. Kroll. Now, Henry P. Kroll, as a young man, had tuberculosis. And he had gone to hear Dwight Moody preach. And he said, I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. He prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, if you will help me flourish in business, I will give most of the money to you. He worked outside for 7 years because his doctor told him that's the way you can deal with that tuberculosis, and God healed him. He bought a little place in Ravenna, Ohio, that was a little rundown Quaker mill. He began to build it up and to work in it and have products. In 10 years, millions and millions of people knew his name because he's the founder of Quaker Oats. And Kroll Hall, he donated the money to build Kroll Hall. He's dead and gone, but the part that his family gets in his trust still today, more than 60% goes to missionaries, mission organizations, Bible colleges. See, that's one of the things that I learned when I was working with the people of the Latter Hue. I was on the board of World Missions. I was the only African-American. And they start talking about bequests. I said, what's that? What's a bequest? And they said, that's when somebody knows that eventually they're going to die. So what they do is they get a policy and they leave it for our denomination. I was on the board of Moody Bible Institute, and I found of the $63 million that came in that year while I was on, over half of it was from dead people. So, you know, me and my wife did. I have a policy just for this church. I'll take care of my family, and when I die, my family's well taken care of abundantly. That's why when my wife jerks at night, I wake up to see, you know, what's happening here. You know, it's like, well, why are you moving so suddenly, woman? You know what I'm saying? You know? Yeah. And why? So that whenever I go, goes to the kingdom. It goes straight to the kingdom. That's it, man. That's it. It's like, man, you know, they gave liberally. See, most of us give from our surplus, never from our poverty. Mother Teresa said, if what you give is something you don't need, then you didn't really give. They did it generously, liberally. Listen, let me just say this real quick because I got to move on. I've told you the story over and over again about when my wife and I were getting ready to celebrate our anniversary. Y'all tired of hearing it. Say, we are tired of hearing it. And so you remember, those of you who never heard it, one of our members said, what you going to do for your anniversary? We said, we going downtown. He said, no. Would you like to go to Puerto Vallarta? He put $3,000 in our pocket. He put us in first class. He sent us to his condo in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. But let me tell you something I didn't tell you. The next year, he said, about a month before our anniversary, what are you guys going to do for your anniversary? Said, well, we're probably going to do what we were going to do last year, go downtown, get us a little place, and just enjoy each other's company. You want to go back to my condo in Mexico? Show you right, baby. Show you right. So he said, he did the same thing, put $3,000 in my pocket, put us in first class, flew us down. But before we left, he said, give me the keys to your house. Now, I ain't always been saved. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, whenever I was unsaved, if I could get your keys when you were gone, when you came back, everything be gone. So that's what I was thinking, Brother Ronnie. I was thinking, but then, you know, no, this man not going to do that. So I gave him the key. So we come back from Mexico, and he picks us up, and he comes and lets us in our house. He opens the door, and my wife starts crying because this man, while we were gone, had brought us brand new furniture. And we looked, and the dining room, now the dining room table we had, you remember it, Jay? We would have our Thanksgiving dinner and all that, but we have trays all around because you couldn't put the food on the table. The chairs was rickety. This man brought us, and so I had to call him. I said, you know what? I want to describe it to the people today, and I need you to tell me what it was. Well, it was cream colored, and he said, well, you need to understand that both the table and the, what do you call that thing with the glasses in it and all that? China cabinet. Yeah, China cabinet. He said, it's not made of one wood. It's made of three. It's made of birch. It's made of walnut. And it's made of maple. Now, I wanted to ask him what it cost, but, you know, you don't do stuff like that. And since there was no tag on any of it, I just Googled. I went on the internet. And I put in, you know, picture of blah, blah, blah. And I saw my picture. And guess what? There were about three or four. And the cheapest one was $9,000. The cheapest one. Cheapest one. And I said, wow. Man, this man is generous. But then guess what? The next year, he came to me and he said, what are you going to do, you and your wife, for your anniversary? I said, I hope what we did last year. He said, sure, you're right. You want to go back to Mexico? I said, you know what? I've never been to Las Vegas. I know what they say, but I heard the food is nice. There are kind of, all kind of old school shows, the impressions and all that kind of stuff. So I want to go. I want to go to Las Vegas. So he sent me and my wife to Las Vegas, put us up in the biggest suite in the Bellagio, put $3,000 in my pocket, flew us first class. I'm telling you. And then the next year, he sent us somewhere. And then the next year, and for 11 years, straight, Pastor Washington, this man sent us somewhere and put $3,000 cash in this preacher's pocket. Generosity. Generosity. You're going to hear it again, but I wasn't going to use it for this one. I was going to use it for another one whenever I come back to it. But I don't know when the next time I'm going to preach on money, you know what I'm saying? But do you know when we were building this sanctuary, the largest single gift came from the person who built it. He built it free. It was $3.75 million. He's supposed to get $375,000. He put all of that back into this building. That's why we have marble out there. That's why we have brass here. That's why we have a pit here. All that stuff, he just put it in. That's why our bathroom looks like it should be out at Willow Creek that got 10,000 members, because he did it. Amen. The second largest gift came from one of our teenagers on a fixed income. I almost fail. I was going to give get a picture and put it up there for you, but the name was on it. I couldn't obscure it, and I didn't want to mess it up because it's the only copy I have. But she said, "Here, Pastor, this for the new sanctuary." I said, "Okay, Mother. Praise the Lord for you, sweetheart." And she said, "Oh, Pastor, it's the least I could do." And I'm thinking, okay, she's on a fixed income. Maybe she's giving $100, $200, $300. She gave me a check for $100,000. $100,000. I got the copy. $100,000 on a fixed income. I ain't ask her, even today. I wish I would have before she went home to Jesus, but I didn't ask her because it wasn't none of my business. Generosity. Then notice, willingly. It said, here it is. Let me bottom line it. Say bottom line. Paul wasn't going to ask them. Giving is catching.
Amen.
So they weren't coerced. Here's what, look, let me read it. Praying us with much entreaty. Wait a minute. Let me get this real quick. He says, praying, what does that mean? Listen to what it says here. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They begged him. No, you're going to take this.
How about you? But every time I hear that passage or I read that section of 2 Corinthians 8, I was at least a little bit convicted. When was the last time that I begged for an opportunity to give away some of my money, some of what God has entrusted to us? But yet, that is the mindset, the Macedonian mindset that we are called to have, isn't it? Well, you're listening to a message called The Macedonian Mindset from 2 Corinthians 8, and we're going to continue this teaching in just a second. You ever miss a program? Listen online at treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Maybe they understood that lost beatitude of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 13th beatitude. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know that's not recorded. But Paul says Jesus said it. And it's in red letters in my Bible. So you know what that means. Jesus said it. See, too many of us are like little Ray Ray. Remember him and his brother Joey? There was one cookie. They were arguing over who's going to get the cookie. Mother came in. She wanted to give him a lesson. She says, okay. She says, boys. And she looks at Ray Ray because he's the oldest. You know, Jesus would give the cookie to his brother. So which one of you are going to be Jesus? I'm looking at Ray Ray. Ray Ray grabbed the cookie, bit it and said, Joey, you be Jesus. And that's most of us. It's like willingly, not coerced. Let me give you these real quick. Then enthusiastically. Look at what it says. It says, they pray with much entreaty, you receive our good, the fellowship of ministering, on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says that they gave hilariously. It says, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word means hilariously. Ha, 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 ha. And so here you have, let me read Wiersbe's comments on this. He says, it's possible to give generously, but not to give enthusiastically. The preacher says, I should give until it hurts. And a miserly church member said, but for me, it hurts just to think about giving. The Macedonian churches needed no prompting or reminding, as did the church at Corinth. They were more than willing to share in the collection. In fact, they begged to be included. How many times have you heard a Christian beg for somebody to take an offering? Their giving was voluntary and spontaneous. It was of grace, not pressure. They gave because they wanted to give and because they had experienced the grace of God. This is the part I want you to hear. Grace not only frees us from our sins, grace frees us from ourselves. That's a great line. Yeah. And so the grace of God will first open your heart, and your heart will open your hand. Wow. Wow. Yeah. They're giving. I was at a church and I was preaching, and it's the first time it ever happened. So I'm sitting up in the pulpit, and the worship leader got up and said, "It is now time to worship the Lord in our giving." And I was like, because people were, yeah, amen, clapping, yeah. And everybody grabbed their envelope and start waving their, yeah, praise the Lord. It's a first fruit. It's a way. And it was like there was more noise during the offertory than there was during the music. And they had a kicking choir too. He said, "You look surprised, Pastor." I said, "But I've never seen people of God respond like this to giving." So I came back the next Sunday. And I said, "Hey, what do you say we make some noise whenever it's time for offertory?" That's right. That's exactly right. You're looking like you look right now. Like, are you crazy? Who's going to be happy about giving money away? And then personally, 1 Corinthians 16, each one of you, every one of you, let me just say this, and I'm going to shut it down. It's not equal money, but it is equal sacrifice. We may not all give the same amount, but we all ought to give with the same attitude. You mean to tell me you trust God with your eternal soul, but you don't trust God with your temporal stuff? Tell your neighbor, there's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. Here's the last one. Verses 7 through 9, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Verses 7 through 9, you have the right motivation, the right method, the right model for giving. He gave two examples, didn't he? He gave an immediate example, that's the Macedonians, but we don't ever want to ultimately model ourselves after people, any person. But there is then the ultimate example, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me cut down to verse 9. Now, verse 7 and 8 kind of builds to verse 9. How do I know that? Because it begins with 4, which is explanatory God. So he says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Wait a minute. Now he's talked about grace. Now he's talking about grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace of God. In other words, they've cornered the market on grace. Lord, his deity, Jesus, his humanity, Christ, his sovereignty. See how he brings it in? And so he brings it all in. Why? Because God gave the best of heaven, Jesus, for the worst of earth, us. And so he begins to tell him, he says, "Listen, Jesus was rich and he became poor for you and for me." And so what happens here? let me just say this. This morning I was talking about undercover boss, but let me just tell you something you already know. Coming to America, Eddie Murphy in Arsenio Hall, he was a prince who wanted a bride. So he left his kingdom and came to a place in New York looking for a queen. He was arrayed in splendor and had servants that were bowing to him and meeting his every need, giving them baths. And he gave all those things away for the rags of a McDonald's worker. And then he went and found his bride. She didn't want him, but he wooed her and courted her. Then he wed her. And then you know what he did? He took her back to his kingdom and he made her richer than she ever could have been. That's what's in this text. Jesus Christ left the suburbs of heaven, came to the inner city called earth.
Yes.
He veiled his deity and humanity and robed himself like one of us so he could relate to us. And then he wed us. He wooed us. He wed us. And the Bible says one day he's coming back to take us to himself. Now let me tell you what I found out about that movie. Did you know that not only did Eddie Murphy star in it, but Eddie Murphy wrote it? But not only did Eddie Murphy write it, Eddie Murphy directed it and produced it. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. He's a giver. He's the original giver. What did he give up, Pastor Ford? Well, let me take my seat. If I was Hooper, I'd be Hooper now. He gave up the splendors of heaven for the squalor of earth. Yeah. He gave up limitless deity for localized humanity. Yeah. He gave his body to an old rugged cross. He gave his back to a whip. He gave his brow to a crown of thorns. He gave his cheek to a smiter's fist. He gave his mother to John and to John his mother. He gave his side to the spear. He gave his blood for our sins. He gave his spirit to the Father. And he gave eternal life to everybody who believes that he is God in the flesh, who died and was buried and rose again the third day. You can't outgive Jesus, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. And we need to have not just the mindset of the Macedonians, we need to have the mindset of the Master when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive.
It's a challenging yet encouraging way to wrap up this message, the Macedonian mindset. Really helpful look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, and if you missed any of the previous broadcasts in this series, I'd encourage you to come to our website and listen there. Just stop by treasuredtruthradio.org. You know, Pastor, we all face tough times in life, and sometimes that's a very specific thing that's happening to us. Other times it may be something that's happening to our family, our society in general. And really what we need is just the hope that we find in God's Word.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I had a listener call, and she said to me, she said, "Pastor Ford, I listened to you faithfully, and I want you to know you hoped me." And I said, "I helped you?" "No, you hoped me." I was feeling hopeless, and after listening to the Word of God, I got hope. And I said, "You know what hope means in the Bible when it says hope?" She says, "Well, no, but I believe you're going to tell me, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, it literally means outstretched neck. You ever wait for a bus in the dead of winter and you know it's coming, but you don't know when? So you step out in the street and you look up the street with an outstretched neck to see when it's coming. That's the word hope. He's coming. He's going to give us relief in whatever we're going through. We cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. And yes, Moody Radio, we're in the hope business.
You can help us give hope to those who will come across this program and this station as you support Treasure Truth. Give a gift online at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for doing that and for listening today. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.